Blog Talk Radio.
The harm is in our genes, transgenerational epigenetic inheritance and systemic racism. That's tonight's discussion. We'll be right back. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were based in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path to make it history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the home page, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will then be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of Peace. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, and greetings to you, Sister Q, and greetings to the family, sisters and brothers who may be joining us.
Thank you for that. Okay, so let's get started, because I know you've got to have a lot to talk about tonight. So, Brother Shabaka, Dr. Onaji Muid was here last month to speak on the harm report that comes from NCOBRA. In fact, you contributed quite a bit when Dr. Muid ran a little late for the program. So is the topic tonight related to Dr. Muid's presentation last month?
Thank you for the question, Sister. Yes, it does a little. At the time when Dr. Onaji came in, he was a little late, and I just had a little bit of information. I had not studied the report very thoroughly, and I had a little information, which was why I was able to sit in a little bit. But then, you know, after he came in, and then, of course, we rushed him, you know, because he came in and he was trying to cover a few things, I thought I would go back and try to indulge myself in the report into the strategy that Dr. Onaji was trying to convey. And consequently, I thought that this would be a good point to reintroduce the topic in a certain form, because we didn't really go through very much of the technical, and I'm not going to speak too much of the technical aspect of the report. And I'd like to inform the family that you can get a copy of that report, download it yourself by just going to the NCOBRA website, and that's NCOBRAonline.org, N-C-O-B-R-A online.org. And then you'll see some selections at the top, and you'll see the harmed report. You just click on that, and it'll give you all the information that you'll need. So I did get a chance to look through it. As I said, I am not an epidemiologist. I am not a biochemist or anything like that. And it was not or a psychologist. You had to look like know all of that. There were some technical terms, but the technical terms, if you read through them for a little bit, you could get a very good understanding. But they went very well and out of their way to try to make it as informative and understandable for the average person who may not have those technical skills. So, yes, I did want to talk about that because I didn't think he was able to convey what he really wanted to convey without, you know, getting some of the people lost. But thank you for the question.
Okay. Thank you for that. We appreciate you going back and bringing the information to us the way you're bringing it to us tonight. So what sort of negative health effects have been linked to the historical trauma?
Yeah, thanks again, Sister. This is very informative to go through this again and to look at this question of health. And as the family know, we have attempted to have a number of programs dealing with health, call for us to look a little seriously at our health, call for us to do an examination in particular of this so-called pandemic. I call it plandemic, and its solutions by bringing in gene therapy, which they're calling vaccines. And in fact, it's just recently that they tried to fit this gene therapy into a definition which would be comparable to a vaccine. But anyway, to get to the question that you asked, we know that the mental kinds of anguish and trauma that we have experienced just growing up in America, even after the slavery period, Jim Crow period, you know, has all kind of psychological ramifications. What we didn't know that there was also parallel some biological disorders. And let me try to get to those a little bit.
Okay.
We know that in all of the top areas of diseases that operate and that have fatalities in this country, Africans, people of African descent in this country, are high on the list. All right. We didn't quite know why, but we knew that it was high on the list. All right.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, we know that we have high blood pressure. That's common. All right. Heart disease. All right. Asthma, breathing difficulties, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, which they call things that attack our joints and what have you. So we needed these things. We also have obesity. We find out that our children, all right, at very young ages seem to be a little bit heavier than their European counterparts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, that's because they live in the ghetto. But that's not true, because we find out that even when we move to the affluent areas, the middle-class areas, we're still overweight. You know, we assume that we are eating somewhat similar to what the European counterparts are eating in those so-called integrated areas, all right? So what explains this? Well, the research that came up that Brother Onaji spoke of, and we had Brother Cam Howard, who is the male co-chair of NCOBRA, come to speak to us too. And I think that was right after, I think they had a press conference in October, and soon after that he did appear on the show, and I think you interviewed him, all right, talked about the traumas associated and why the need for this report was necessary to point out these traumas as a consequence of transgenerational inheritance. Now, trans just means from generation to generation. So it wasn't just something that happened, you know, when I was small and it's over when I got to be adult. No, it's something that happened to my great-great-grandmother and father, all right, that I'm experiencing right now. And let me try to give you an example of that. And this example is going to be maybe hard to visualize and to contemplate, but you know, I have to bring it so that you can conceptualize it. You know, when you think about it, you're walking down the street with your mother and father in nice, good old Southern. It could be any of the Southern states, you know, South Carolina over there, Drew, Louisiana and Texas, could be in any of the Southern states, and it just happened to be in 1868. After the slavery period, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Uh-huh.
And now the owner of the land that you happen to be sharecropping, you know, because you couldn't leave, you know, you uh-huh. didn't have at that time sufficient funds saved up so that you could escape the environment that had for decades produced terror to you and the family you try to raise. All right? And you walking uh-huh. down the street. All right, and then all of a sudden, all right, here's a drunken European. Now, you know, in some Southern states, you couldn't touch a white person. I don't know if the family members have did that research. You couldn't touch them. All right, and he's drunken, and he bumps into you.
Okay.
And here you are, a 10-year-old child, seeing this white man beat the hell out of your father, and your father not fight back. Now, let me say that again. You see this white man beating the hell out of your father, calling him all kinds of N-words and whatever, all right, because he bumped to him and touched his skin. And so he's beating him in front of his family, in front of you. Now, think of the trauma associated with that, all right, because then you see that this white man, and the only difference between your father and you is the fact that you're smaller, but you're still a black person and male.
Uh-huh.
And this man is beating the hell out of you, All right? Now, I know this might be a little graphic, but I gotta put it out there, family, because, see, we got to deal with the trauma that affects us now that we are unaware of. His lust come out, and he grabs your mother. You understand what I'm saying? And right there in front of you, he rapes your mother. He probably might even try to rape your father. All right? Now, think of witnessing that image, impacting on you as a 10-year-old, all right, and that image being carried up where this man abused your father and your mother, and neither of them could do anything for fear of death, not only to themselves, but also to you.
Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't for the fact that he was so drunk, he might have would have taken out of his anger or lust on you at 10 years old. All right. Now, it's a little rough to think about that, but I want you to think about that, family, because that happened. That happened. It was described in some of the slave journals, all right, that managed to find their ways up, all right? So that happened. And so when you think of, all right, and we're talking about in the mid to late 1860s, all right? All right, so we're just 150-some years, past that, all right, and still we're suffering as a consequence of that, all right, in Jim Crow, in the segregated South. Now, I don't have no problem being segregated from Europeans. My problem is that the consequence of that segregation left me extremely impoverished because you took the resources. Excuse me. You took the resources from my community and put them in the European community, all right? And so, therefore, as a consequence, we were impoverished, segregated, and impoverished. It's not segregated and equal. We were segregated and impoverished, all right? And so I'm looking at the trauma, and that was a daily – yeah, go ahead, sister. You had something to say?
No, I just no, keep going. I'm not trying to.
I'm trying to give a reality because sometimes we get here, and we say, well, we can forgive them because that was long ago. Well, it wasn't long ago because the cops are still shooting us, so they're just have replaced the Klans, all right, members, all right. So they still abusing us. We still see how they go into our communities, which is basically a colony. And abuse us. We see how they throw dope and direct informants to create problems. All right, so these drive-by shootings just didn't come up. We didn't wake up one morning and say, I want to drive by and shoot. No, these things have been very elaborately planned. And then to see, if you wake up and see that these are planned from outside and impinged inside. All right. And then wake up at the trauma of seeing that, so nothing has stopped. So ever since slavery to the majority of us, nothing has stopped. Consequently, the injuries from a psychological standpoint have also affected us physiologically, all right, because it has interfered with the genetic signaling. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a second, all right? The genetic signaling by which things communicate, all right? See, we have genes and we have cells, all right? There's information that is released by the genes to instruct elements of the cells to do things, all right? Like the mRNA, all right, which as you hear is the name of the vaccine that they call. Well, the mRNA in humans and in mammals, all right, is to carry information from the nucleus, the genes that's in the nucleus, all right, to the chromosomes, which is the factory that makes specific protein. This becomes important because, cells die, all right, and then they reproduce themselves and they need proteins in order to be able to help carry out the reproductive process, all right. So this is this. So everything has signaling, even something that you might have heard it a little bit in the news, and people might not understand it. They call it some of the people that might have had an opportunity if they got onto the news to mention what they call cytokine storm. But the cytokine is signaling. All right, it's signaling between the cells, and it allowed to communicate with the immune system if the cells feel like for some reason they're being distressed or under attack. The cytokines will create that. Some of the scientists from this massive vaccination warned that a cytokine storm, which means that a lot of signaling, you know, when you get that vial, that jab, you know, you're not getting one mRNA. You're getting hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Now, that means it's going through millions of cells, possibly, all right, in order to produce what they theoretically believe is a spike protein, which is a protein which they believe is responsible to bring out the genetic material from the virus and inject it into the cell so that it replicates, all right, which means nothing more than just reproduce itself. So everything is signaling. Signaling is a way in which the body communicates. Now, I have to, for full disclosure, say this. And family, I want you to listen very carefully. What I am saying is based on the European model. It's the European model. All right. It's not necessarily an African model. African has another way of explaining the interdynamics that take place inside our body, outside our body, which allow us to be able to move effectively, integrate with the community and the environment around us. It's a different model.
Okay.
That model, though, seems to work well, which allows the Europeans to create the necessary experiments to test that model to see if they can predict. See, the whole idea of what they call science is to begin to do experimentation, all right, and from that experimentation see results, all right, and then they place it in a controlled environment to see if they can control what results come out of that, and then they release it.
All right,
these are some wicked people, I'm telling you. But anyway, I was getting that our body is nothing more than signaling. And so the genes in communicating with that's in one cell with another cell, the signaling might not be interpreted enough to be able to say, oh, is that what you mean? Let me go and do this, all right? But as a consequence of the drama that took place, you know, centuries ago, the gene, instead of signaling to do this, all right, does something else. And let me give one more example, then I'll stop here just to see if you might want to follow with a question. We know that when you get stressed out, family members, when you get stressed out, and usually what you get stressed out is because you become confronted with a situation, and usually psychologically they say, well, you either, you know, fight or flight. In other words, is I'm stressed out enough that I have to defend myself because I've been surprised, and I can't run, or I got sufficient time to run. You don't really think too much deeper than that. You want to get out of the situation. Okay. Well, the scenario that I gave you earlier about the young boy, you know, who was with his father and mother, all right, while they were savagely attacked by this drunken European, where is he going to go?
Right.
Where is his mother or father going to go? They couldn't. There was no opportunity for them to fight back, risk death, all right, or escape, controlled by the European environment, the colony. All right. So we find ourselves in a dilemma, all right, because we cannot have a natural expression when we are confronted with stress. Stress is not supposed to last all the time. And then you see some of our sisters in particular, when they go onto the white plantation, they're always confronted with stress. First by their supervised or visors, white female, and of course the white female's boss, the lustful white male. Now let me stop here just to see if you had any questions you wanted to follow up with.
Well, yes, that's you gave a very good understanding of where past trauma came from, Brother Shabaka, and I appreciate that. The question I have is, has anyone considered what types of deficiencies, disabilities, diseases, or whatever we can expect to present in future generations as a result of the trauma we are subjecting our children to in the name of COVID?
Sister, that is an excellent question, and I wish I had an answer for you, but I do. We don't know. All right, we don't know, because we have not. Science is, maybe a couple decades old, and we have learned. Not we, the European, because the European has conducted this science. So what I'm talking about is we got the information from him, and that's essentially what the study does, is collect the information. The European has been working on this, all right?
Uh-huh.
And they noticed that in humans, particularly right after the Holocaust, they looked at the offsprings of the Jewish people from survivors of the Holocaust and knew how behaviorally they responded, but they knew that there were some physical changes, particularly in those Jewish communities that did not have the environment or not in the environment in which Nazi Germany exploited them.
Right? Uh-huh.
All right, but they had some things. Science has also found it led the way to look at mice. And sometimes mice, behave very similarly to how humans in their family arrangement. And so it looks at doing things and seeing how the mice respond, and then looking at the offsprings of the mice a generation or two to see if they can notice any consequence, all right, as a result of the trauma, the artificial trauma that they created in their experiment. But, sister, we don't know. And it's interesting that you brought up COVID because, see, theoretically, according to the European, Pfizer in particular, Moderna as well as Johnson & Johnson, theoretically, they place an mRNA gene, all right, encoded or surrounded by fat. It's a piece of fat, essentially that's all it is, so that the cell thinks of it as food, will absorb it, and what they would absorb would be the mRNA. The mRNA, as I said earlier, is for messaging, signaling.
Uh-huh.
All right, it will take information, but remember now, this mRNA is taking information from a theoretically constructed virus, all right, supposedly responsible for the outbreak of COVID-19 in Wuhan, China. Supposedly.
Uh-huh.
See, there's a lot of information they're not telling us. And unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff because of the propaganda machinery, because we're looking at those things on TV, listening to, some of our brothers and sisters that may have sold out, may have,
for sure.
I don't know, or they may have just be ignorant. All right. Actually believe what the popular narrative is, and that is, all right, that we caught this. So therefore, we caught this virus, so we have to elicit an immune response. The immune response, at least according to the scientists, is based on the spike protein that's on the surface of the virus, all right? It's the spike protein, supposedly, all right, that allow or infects the cells, all right? And they say that these are ACE inhibitors. That's the cells or protein that connects to the spike protein, all right, which will allow, by a certain mechanism, to allow the genetic material to be transferred. That is theoretical.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to say it again. It's theoretical. That's mm-hmm. what they think, because they have never used this technique before. They've always used a weakened virus, all right, or a dead virus, and an immune response to protect you from anything that looked like the virus. The other thing is that the spike protein is not the only protein on the virus. And usually when you have, if you catch a cold or particularly a flu, all right, mm-hmm. that has not mutated, all right, what your body does is create, it looks at the whole virus, all right, and immunize you from various of the protein, the spike protein by which information is transferred into the cell is not the only thing. And so your immune system is able to understand all of that. But this spike protein is specifically, or rather this mRNA vaccine is specifically to deal with the creation of a spike protein that they hopefully think, that they think your body is to respond to. Now, guess what?
Exactly.
All right? We don't know if that's true for black folks, because we already seen we don't respond the same way as Europeans, and the model that they use is a European male.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so sister, they even ruled you out. Mm-hmm. You're not a European nor male. All right. So, you know, so that's the model that they use. All right. The mm-hmm. theory is based on that model, and we have no way of knowing what is the effects as a consequence of that. But we do know this. We do know this from studies that was done when Israel went through and got the vaccine. A lot of data came out, and we found out that the spike protein, that thing that our body is supposed to produce inside the shoulder muscle, all right, which will elicit an immune response to prevent any type of infection that has a spike protein like that. What we learned in the Israeli thing is that spike protein did not stay in the shoulder. That spike protein got into the blood vessel and went throughout the body.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, did you hear me, sister? All right.
So that means you don't know where it's going to end up doing what to what part of your body then.
Don't know where it's going at, but what they found it in the heart, and, you know, they talk about myocarditis, that, you know, they're just beginning to bring that out, which is the inflammation of the heart muscle created by mm-hmm. the spike protein. They say clotting in the brain, causing strokes, all right? And they're finding out miscarriages in women.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Always been the depopulation has always been the plan. So.
Hey, now you're talking, and now you see it, because the average person doesn't know that. And since we are heavily affected by any of the medication that they give us, all right, including this, then that means then that we are going to be influenced at a disproportionate rate. And if Europeans, and see, I know Neely Fuller, the great elder Neely Fuller, who talks about his codes, all right, said that there's 9 areas of people activity that the European must control, all right? And, but he's insane that he says that they will always sacrifice some of their own, all right, as he called it, for the greater good. That's how he jokingly mentioned it. In other words, the Europeans will sacrifice his own, all right, to get to the intended target. And right now, since we die the fastest and quickest, and we have all of those comorbidity diseases, all right, to me, we are the intended target. And let me stop here and see if any of the brothers or sisters might have a question or two.
Yes, we do have someone with their hand up. Let me open. Okay, caller with the last 4 digits, 7204. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question. Thank you. Are you there? 7204.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Deborah from Virginia. How y'all doing this evening?
Very well.
This is Deborah. How are you doing? We're doing fine. I'm on the roll. I'm doing fine.
Yes, I see you are. Well, okay, first I'm gonna get to the first part. You know, you got to watch some of these doctors. They'll tell you you got high blood pressure, and you really don't. And they have to sell these products, okay?
Right.
I just want to say that because they're very surprised when they surprised. Oh, you, I only take one kind of medicine, and that's just for pain, right? But they're surprised that's all I'm taking, you know. And they'll try to push this stuff on you, really. And so you need to really be careful about it. But what I call for is that example that you gave with the drunken white boy coming down the street.
Yes.
And what they did back then, what they couldn't do back then, what effect would it do if the same thing happened today? What effect of knowing about that in your memory bank, the effects of it that your ancestors left inside of you, if the same thing happened and I'm walking down the street, how would I act?
Well, you know, sister, thank you for that question. And, you know, it has happened. When I say today, I remember Venus and Serena Williams' father, you know, was talking about when he was growing up in Louisiana as a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's just about maybe a couple years older than I am. All right. So
mm-hmm.
we're talking about in this time frame between the 1950s to the present time. All right. But I consider that contemporary. He said, which is why I gave that example, because I've heard that example before, that his father had owed a European some money, so he gave his son the money to pay the European. Now, remember now, in that part of Louisiana, I think it was up there I forget where it was, where he was raised. But anyway, so he was, you know, trying to put the money into the man's hand and accidentally touched the man. You know, his hand touched the man's hand as he was putting money in there. And now he was a kid. He said that the man beat him, and he said that his father ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think of the impact of that. And so when you look at Mr. Williams now, you know, particularly, he's very solid. in his plan, some people said he's very harsh, but then he looked at that reality. Now, that's, I consider that contemporary, all right? And so, but I've heard such stories, you know, coming from, you know, the narrative of Africans who were enslaved, you know, about the brutality that they experienced. So you look at that stress, all right?
Yeah.
Something comparable today might be the stress associated with, you know, seeing some loved one shot, you know, doing by a drive-by shooting, all right? And and you just seeing them as they bleed out and unable to, with no knowledge of how to help them, the psychological impact that it has on you. And so there are things. This is a very brutal society that we have in. In fact, what I heard was that, you know, they're doing a lot of demonstrations in Europe over these mandates, COVID mandates, COVID vaccine mandates. They're doing a lot of demonstration. And somebody said, well, you know, we haven't had enough such demonstrations or violence like that in the United States. And the guy, I remember, said, well, look, you got 335 million people and you got 440 million guns. Did you hear what I just said?
Okay, yeah.
You know, that's why you don't have the brutality of the state on the people, because people got, you know, more than one gun.
Mm-hmm.
Which may be true.
Yeah.
Now, that's what he said. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but we do have a lot of guns. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that kind of trauma that exists is here now. It's still imposed by the state, because either the state apparatus, the cops, the judicial system separates male from families. I mean, the male's thrown into jail, or he's put on probation, and the welfare system prohibits him from joining his family back. And so everything in the state, so it's not the kind of physical problems that we had during the slave period and the Jim Crow period, but we still have it because the law is the law, all right, and it still prohibits. And if you are caught, the woman could lose the amount of money that she has, and, of course, the male could go to jail. So, sister, you raised a very important question, and, yes, some aspects of that is still happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your question, Sister DeBoer. As you be growing up, you
kind of get into those situations down here in the South. So that's why I was asking, because, they still do stupid stuff like that, come up in your face and stuff. But I'm gonna tell you something. I would use all the power I had to knock the doo-doo out of them. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Some of those 40 million guns we have.
Absolutely.
So see, this is a different age now. And to tell you the truth, if they start this tells you how stupid these people are. You know, to me, they've always been stupid. That's their biggest problem. Here you got me cooking your food, washing your butt, and you're going to tell me I could poison you any time of the day. To me.
And a lot of
some did
happen.
Do that.
Some did do that, yes, absolutely, no doubt.
To me, that tells you how stupid. It's not just race. You know, we mostly when we talk about white people, we talk about the racist. But we need to look at it a little bit more. These people, because I'm going to tell you, you got some blacks out here thinking that white people are great. Your last president that you had tells you how stupid. Yeah, you got to understand stupidity.
Okay,
and
you're taking us on a whole nother level. That's another
chapter. You know, when we look at the indoctrination and brainwashing.
We're gonna have to stop looking at them like they're great. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
You too.
Have a good one.
Okay. Peace.
Peace.
Okay. All right. I got your ad, Brother Shibaka. It's almost 10 o'clock already. My goodness. Wow.
Greetings, Brother Auntie. Habaragani. What's the news?
Kuji Chagalia. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm so glad you called. Let me tell you about a very important event happening for ULU members. Did you know that the annual ULU members meeting and convention is coming up soon?
No, I hadn't heard. Tell me more.
Well, as you know, listing us is the premier global economic cooperative community for people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, We're building successful business models that give us capacity to gain significant control of the economics of our community.
Yes, I know. And I agree wholeheartedly about this approach to nation building. Tell me more about the annual members meeting and convention.
This year's meeting will be virtual again due to COVID-19, but we're planning a live online event for members to interact with each other, get to know each other, and get to know more about the ULU plan and some important recent initiatives like real estate and cryptocurrency.
Sounds exciting. I want to be there. What do I need to do?
Simply go to usliftingus.com, and that is usliftingus.com, and register there. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the convention, you can sign up there as well.
That sounds easy enough to do. I'm on it right now.
And all ULU members can do that right now. Show your support for ULU. Register now at
usliftingus.com.
We're back. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night weekly radio program where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people globally and how we're going to do that. Today, tonight, we're talking to Brother Shabaka and our friend, The Harm is to Our Genes, Transgenerational Epigenetic Inheritance, and Systemic Racism. Brother Shabaka, are there proposed steps to remediate the injuries that have been caused by this trauma to Black people? And how does that fit in with ULU?
Yes, the plan does call for remediation. All right, studies have shown that the traumas can be mitigated. And again, as I said before, they were using rats, mice.
Uh-huh.
All right. And they show with certain influences in the diets and removing them from the stressful environment that they subjected them to, they did see a remediation. All right. So how does this affect us? Well, Brother Thurman has been on the case going back months talking about we need to create an African cultural center. And one of the remediations, at least as introduced by members of and COBRA, not introduced by them, but they saw the necessity, is to create African-centered cultural prevention and treatment interventions. All right, and I think that this can happen in what we would call a cultural center, as well as a wellness center. You know, to combine the cultural intervention. All right, and there this has been introduced, again, theoretically, all right, again, looking at the mice, all right, and this is, in other words, culture just means that we begin to look at ourselves. We extract from our past that we can extract from by interacting with our brothers and sisters who still retain some degree of knowledge about what we did from the continent, and then we build an homogenous kind of environment, which becomes helpful. In addition to that, extensive training that includes a gradual elimination of the repeated exposure. In other words, if, you know, like I talk about the drive-by shooting, you replace that with something positive when you have identified that there is a reaction that you can definitely see come from the negative exposure of a drive-by shooting, all right, or a white cop shooting a black, or a white in the South just beating blacks and getting away mm-hmm. with it, all right. So you replace that environment with something that is helpful, All right, loving, caring. All right, and see, that does something to the, that will do something to the response in genes. All right, the genes will begin to respond almost naturally because that's how they should respond. All right, as opposed to, but you got to do it constantly. It's not something that will be, you do it, like we go to meetings and we go to, let me use the church as an example. We go to the church, we feel good, all that stuff and stress we had over the week is eliminated, and then we go on Monday and be reintroduced to the stress. All right, so we evidently need the kind of camaraderie, sisterhood, brotherhood that we get from the exposure to church. We need that without the exposure, the negative exposure of what we experience during the week. So we see that. We see that nutrition has played, like, as I said earlier, a lot of our people are obese. All right. And that is because for some reason, as we get the food and digest, now when you digest, your cells is identifying that something is in there, all right, that needs to be digested, okay? All right.
Okay.
A signaling has to take place because you have to identify what's there, and then you have to make what is necessary in order to digest it. All right? Uh-huh. We don't know if the signaling is right. We don't know if the signal says digest or store. You know, that's what fat does.
Okay.
So fat goes in there and is stored. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying this. Uh-huh. So we have to get the right messaging incorporated from making sure that we have the right food. And then our body will become adapted to the wholesome food that we hadn't been experiencing before because of our experience in the antebellum South. So we look at diet, exercising, reducing. Some people say reduce your meat consumption. And I agree with that because although on the African continent they do eat meat, but on the African continent the meat that they eat, all right, it does not have the hormones in them. All right, the antibiotics in them. It doesn't have all of the stuff in them, all right, that we have over here. So you can't eat that stuff. You know, you can't eat that meat because it's got everything in it that shouldn't be in you. All right, so try to reduce that. Eat more plant protein, fruits. Fruits are high in vitamin C and other vitamins, antioxidants.
Uh-huh.
One thing about antioxidants is that it's designed, vitamin C is an antioxidant, all right, to remove inflammation. Vitamin D, particularly vitamin D3 in the pill form, that's what your body makes when you're exposed to the sun. But black folks, I'm living in Florida right now, and I get a little bit of sun, so I'm in a subtropical area, so I'm almost back home. But, you know, we was always out in the sun. In fact, we was out there all the time. The Europeans, you know, he's in Europe. He goes out there for 15 minutes. He gets enough vitamin D from his 15-minute exposure because he can't stay out there too long. It's too cold.
Uh-huh.
And now what do you think about us whose body has been exposed to the sun continuously? Now we're in Europe. We got clothes on. We can't do that. And so we get harmful. So that stuff. And vitamin D is a hormone. It regulates your immune system. It regulates your immune system. And vitamin C fights any inflammation that is created as a consequence of inflammatory attacks. So you have that. We all know about the smoking and, you know, all the other narcotics that we shouldn't be doing, even prescriptions. You got to worry about that. So it's a whole bunch of things that we can do to eliminate that. Now, how does ULU comes into that? ULU is designed to build an economy, all right? It's designed to put brothers and sisters together, all right, working together, businesses, and as I said earlier, cultural center, health center, making sure that is fundamental in our community. But the key is that it's to expose us to be able to do an economy that is then can be transferred to the benefits of those offsprings that come from us. All right. Hulu is set and designed to do that. You can't do that if you're sick.
Right.
If you're sick, you can't do that. You know, if you got to take the blood pressure medicine, if you got to take the anti-clog drugs because you got clots in your if you got, you know, take these anti-inflammatory drugs because you got inflammation in your lungs, you got inflammation in your chest cavity, you got inflammation all the way from the foods that you eat, the consumption of stuff that you drink, you can't do that. So along with building an economy, we have to educate people, which makes us, all right, pro-family, because we practice on Ujamaa, which is bringing values back, and bringing values back is a psychological impact that helps us to remove the negativity associated with Jim Crow and enslavement that happened to our ancestors. So you have that, and then the new thing is working together, building up those kind of units that are in the community, interacting with members and businesses and everything else in the community to extend those values which are positive, those values which contribute to health, and not do those things which contribute to sickness. This is what Hulu is about. And as the commercial that you just ran, the annual meeting is coming up in March, and so I would send folks to usliftingus.com to find out more information about those things and make sure that you don't miss it, because we got a very impactful meeting coming up among the members. And if you're not a member yet, you should join. If you don't like the way things are happening by the Democratic Party, who seem to be the most fascist now, then maybe you need to begin to flex your economic muscle. But to flex your economic muscle, you must bring and collectively aggregate the resources, human and material, so that we can flex it. And that's the importance of Hulu with this, is the ability to bring ourselves together, to exchange information, to educate ourselves, to build up these cells, to begin to educate our community, to create the jobs and the economy necessary such that we become less and less dependent on those institutions right now that have not done anything but to try to move us towards the grave.
Well said, well said. So as we wind up this evening, Brother Shabaka, what is it that you would like to make sure the family takes with them from this evening's discussion?
Well, thank you, sister. I think that it's important for us as we build, engage, also become aware of the many vices that is happening in our community. Come back to our safe haven, all right, speak about it so that we can develop the strategies to circumvent those things which create the negative impulse, which is detrimental to our health, all right, and create and sustain the positive values and attributes which helps us to move forward. All right. So we can do that. All right. I don't want us to believe by any imagination that a Democratic Party, a Republican Party, a white party is going to be beneficial. They have not shown it in 500 years. We must be aware of their trickery, and as a consequence of being aware, you know, we can work together. Uh-huh. That's our key, working together and aware and not fooled.
Right.
Not fooled.
Right. Thank you, Brother Shabaka. We didn't get to everything, but we got to most of it. And, you know, you can always come back. So,
thank you, sister, for that invitation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to thank everyone who joined us this evening. You can join us again next Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace. Thank you, Brother Shabaka.
Thank you, sister, for the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our ass down. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
No need in trying, no, 'cause I ain't buying.